Welcome back to another iteration of one of my favorite radio segments, Conversations with the Commander, Shape BSG, and we are joined by Colonel Andy Croy. How was your summer? Did you do anything fun?
You know, August is really a quiet time in Shape, so I took advantage of that. I went back to the United States to visit my family and spent some time, and then I then took a vacation from my family by visiting the Caribbean for a little bit, getting some sunshine before I came back to Belgium and in preparation for the very gray fall that's about to approach.
I don't know. It might be, a good year. We've been getting a lot more sun, I think, than we usually see.
Fingers crossed. If that's the case, no complaints here. Last year was really, really rainy, so any kind of sunshine, I'm happy to see it.
Oh, yeah. And, talking about sunshine, I feel like we always get a lot of sunshine on Shapefest. It is always warm.
Yeah, so fingers crossed, knock on wood, whatever you believe. But historically, the weekend that we have Shapefest is always a beautiful day. And, you know, I will tell you that, Shapefest is my favorite event at NATO. And if you haven't been there, you're truly missing out. It is a wonderful opportunity to kind of welcome all the newcomers and show them kind of what NATO is all about and how what a great community we have here at Shape. But I will tell you, it also kicks off the Shape kind of year, if you will. That is when everyone's really back to work and things are about to go into full swing. And so we all come together, enjoy time, enjoy each other's culture, and have a great festivity. And this year was special because we had, we're celebrating NATO's 75th anniversary. But also, this was the 25th anniversary of Shapefest. And so we tried making things a little extra special this year. The first thing is we had two full days. We had two full day programs prior to COVID. We brought that back. But what is unique about this time is we had the first ever family day on Friday. And we received a lot of great feedback from both the family day and the Shapefest. So please give us that feedback, because next year we want to make it even better. And better, because that's what we want to do. And then just a good thanks for the NMRs, the external vendors, the ride providers, the bouncy castles. And I think we had a fantastic fireworks display as well.
Shapefest seems like it would be just such a big muscle movement. I mean, the setup takes days, the teardown takes days. There are so many different pieces and players. How do you put something like that together?
It is certainly a Herculean lift. And I'll tell you that we're just so fortunate to have such a talented team that really gets after this. And really, they're dedicated to making sure that this is the best event for Shape. So I'd like to also thank our Morale Welfare Branch. They're the ones who really run the event. Of course, we have our ISS, who manages all the logistics and ensuring that we have electricity. And then, of course, our police, our IMPs, who ensure everyone is staying safe, and all the children who are getting lost are collected, and everyone's able to have a good time. And so really, they work tirelessly, really for months before, to make sure that this happens. And this year, we had a record-breaking 20,000 people on Shape to participate in the 2 days. So when you think about that many people in one location, and then trying to ensure that they have the services they need and enjoying having a good time and the safety, I think that's pretty remarkable. And a little fact that folks may not know is that for BSG to put this on, there are no additional resources that come our way. So we don't get extra people. We don't get extra money. This is above and beyond what we do every day to take care of the community. So really, really proud of the team that we have there.
Oh, yeah. And so you just mentioned the importance of the IMPs and ensuring everyone's safety during Shapefest. And, I know you guys worked so incredibly hard to organize this event, but I can't imagine what maintaining that safety, especially with the large crowds, must have been like. I assume it's probably quite the challenge, especially I feel like later on in the evenings, because you're there, you're having fun, you're drinking a little bit. So what was that like?
So you're right. As the day progresses and we get closer to the witching hour, if you will, mm-hmm. It does get a little more sporty, if you will. But you know, really, again, it goes back to the you know, the quality of the people here, the strength of the community, because a lot of folks, you know, they police each other up. So when they recognize someone who's misbehaving, they kind of self-correct internally. And so really, do the IMPs need to get involved? But when they do it in a way that you know, benefits the individual. We're not trying to, you know, put everyone in jail. And so really, the instances that did occur, we were able to kind of minimize the impact, get them in a cab, send them home, and that way the overall activity was not impacted by misbehavior. But in general, everyone's really well behaved. I'm really impressed because, again, 20,000 people, all different nations, some alcohol, and it's always a resounding success.
So, Colonel Croy, I know we talked about ShapeFest a lot, but honestly, I don't mind doing it because it's one of my favorite events after Make-A-Wish. I really enjoy getting out and seeing all the international communities come together. There's so much diversity. There's so much good food. I do love the food. I heard you went to both days. How was that?
Those were some long days, but it was great to see the community. You know, day one was the you know, for the children, right? And so, you know, we had the rides out there, we had the bouncy castles, and just a chance for the family to go out there, and just take part in the offerings that we had. And so, a lot of great feedback on that, and I think we'll sustain that as well. And so it's just great to see all the kids from Shape running around, having a great time, in all the laughter. And then the second day, kicked off at 12. You know, Sackier provided the opening remarks, and then it closed out to about 2 a.m. Sunday morning. And so really long day. I was, like you said, the food is so fantastic, and the hospitality is wonderful every time you go to any tent. And I was certainly full for quite a few days afterwards.
Oh yeah, what was your favorite?
Oh, I can't say that.
You can't say
I can't give a preference.
No favorites.
I will tell you everybody. That everybody did a wonderful job.
I was impressed with different things with all of the different groups. Like, I loved, you know, the British setup. I thought that was so clever. They funneled you through.
Yeah, they had the phone booth there.
Oh, yeah. And there was a little fishing game for kids. I think that was Sweden.
Yep.
Yeah. And, you know, just every single place I went to, there was something unique and just absolutely wonderful. I feel like I learned a lot about, you know, the different cultures too. There was a lot of stuff there that I wasn't expecting. So I think that's just one of the big blessings of being in this big international community.
Absolutely. I mean, there's nothing else like it. When I give the newcomers briefings, and we'll talk about that a little bit later, but I tell folks that whether this is your first military assignment or your last, I guarantee you, you have not been to an installation like this. You have not been a part of a community like this, because it really is that special. And it's that uniqueness that really is our strength.
Absolutely. And stick around, because we are going to be branching outside of ShapeFest after this. We have some questions for Colonel Croy to answer up next. I imagine safety is probably something that keeps you up all night out here. There's just so many of us. There's so many different things. I've noticed that they also have been redoing a lot of, you know, even like the parking lot lines, the crosswalk sign, or not the signs, the actual crosswalks themselves. You know, can you talk a little bit about what you do to keep everyone safe out here?
So I've said it before, I'll keep saying it, you know, safety and the security of Shape and Shapians is my number one priority. And, you know, I talked about how, you know, I went on vacation and many other folks went on vacation, but I will tell you that your BSG was still working 24/7 to work tirelessly to ensure that we stay as safe as possible, but also to make several improvements. And then I think a couple of improvements I want to just highlight here is, if you've been in the Carrefour parking lot, so we have repainted all the lines, all the parking spaces, and all the directional arrows so that everyone really knows where they're supposed to be and to follow the rules. But more importantly, what we decided to do was create a pedestrian crosswalk that bisects the parking lot. So that for you can go from the Pizza Bowl and the school to Carrefour and Rendezvous. And so I think that's a great step to making that area safer for pedestrians and cars. But it's imperative on now our Shapians to, one, use the crosswalk, and also not to park in the crosswalk. And so we're trying to do some things to enforce it, but I think that's a great win for the community to ensure the safety. The second thing is we're back to the school year. So we have a lot of newcomers who are dropping off their children, picking up their children. And so what we've done is we've surged our IMPs to the Shape International School. And this is really part of a broader effort to kind of just reinforce traffic and safety regulations in collaboration with our community. We want to ensure that, especially during those busiest times, like drop-off and pick-up, everything runs smoothly and safely, and everyone really understands, you know, what are the right protocols, because it is not a very large area, and it's a very congested area, and you have buses and people and cars, and so we're just trying to help the community take care of our most precious resource, which is our people, especially our children.
Mm-hmm.
And then lastly, again, especially when we have newcomers, people come from all over the world. I'll tell you, like in the U.S., roundabouts aren't really that popular. And so there's a learning curve on things like roundabouts and some of these traffic rules. And so what we've really done is a concerted effort to push out an information campaign on best practices, everything from using the roundabouts to, you know, bicycle usage, e-scooter usage. And then we'll also surge out our IMPs to help encourage people to follow those rules, because obviously it is a safety concern, and we're all trying to, you know, learn something new as we come here and enjoy shaping in our roads, but we have to do it very deliberately and safely. So you'll be seeing quite a bit of information being pushed out to the community on how to follow the rules and regulations governing our roads.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, I've seen actually that post that you had about how to use the roundabouts properly on the Facebook page for Shape BSG, which, you know, we all know from several iterations of this. I haunt that page. I love that page. There's so much good information there. And, you know, the IMPs too, like, it's so nice. When I have to go drop off my kids over there, especially when there was the construction going on, they were incredibly helpful. There's a woman over there that I love. She's put me in check actually a couple times because I got confused and I went the wrong way. But she did it so nicely, and you know, I appreciate how much they care about keeping everyone safe.
Yeah, one of our values is compassionate law enforcement. Mm-hmm. So what we want is ensure everybody has the best time possible in the safest manner possible. And so really it's not about issuing tickets and removing folks' access, but really just ensuring that, you know, it's probably just an oversight, correct the oversight, you know, help change the behavior in a positive way. But I'm really proud of our folks. Again, we focus on compassionate law enforcement. I really think they set the standard.
So, you know, with all of these different food fests going on, and I feel like there's also a lot of food, you know, nation birthdays and different things. I don't know about you, but I definitely need to burn off some calories. Maybe after Shape Fest for 2 days, you're probably in the same boat.
Yeah.
You hitting up the gym?
I was there yesterday morning.
Nice.
So, yeah.
See, I need to get in just a little bit more often. And I love our facility out here too. I think it's really nice. I know that they offer like a 24/7 access, and they've installed a lot of new equipment. Can you talk on that as well?
Absolutely. So that's one of the first things and one of my first priorities when I took command was trying to find a way to install a 24/7 access. We found some ways to do it. It wasn't quite perfect. It was very temperamental, if you will. So as updates would get pushed, it would then turn off the system, and then folks would wake up early in the morning, take their pre-workout, show up to the front of the gym, flash your badge, and then no go. And I can empathize, you know, how frustrating that is. We have invested quite a bit and done quite a few upgrades to ensure that doesn't happen anymore. I think we have a solution. I think we haven't had an outage in about 3 weeks, or at least none that's affected the community. So fingers crossed that we've solved it finally. But I do empathize with the frustration with that. It works about 80% of the time, but still, if you took your pre-workout and you're ready to go, I understand that. And then as far as the other gym piece is, you know, CrossFit is probably one of our largest, you know, fitness activities that we do here. And, you know, the folks that are participating, that it just gets bigger and bigger. And so what you'll see here soon is at the back of the gym where we currently have the CrossFit area, we're going to extend that outside, actually, to build a concrete pad, put some more equipment out there so that we can do a larger range of activities, and also accommodate a larger group so that we don't have to minimize the number of participants. And so that will be forthcoming in a couple of months, too. And so, yeah, just another way that we'll get better.
Is that extending like out the backside, kind of where the climbing wall is, or?
Exactly. So you have the climbing wall, and then adjacent to that, you have kind of the CrossFit area. But now that CrossFit area will kind of go out the back so that we have an extended space.
Ooh, that's nice. I'm looking forward to that.
Well, especially when the weather's nice like this, it'll be perfect.
Oh, this is perfect. Yeah, I was going to say, in this weather, I wouldn't mind being locked out in the morning, but as it gets colder, whew, so... you know, definitely appreciate the improvements on trying to give that access. And, you know, I know the gym's not the only area that you are doing improvements on. Can you talk a little bit about what you're doing at the Silver Spoon?
Sure, absolutely. So, you know, I've always been big about feedback. We've solicited feedback consistently on the Silver Spoon. We understand that is an area that needs to get better, and the value proposition needs to get better. And so we appreciate all the folks that took the time to give us the feedback. We read all of that. We build kind of our plan based on you know, the surveys and the information that we get. And I will tell you that we are currently doing the largest single investment and upgrade in Silver Spoon in over 20 years.
Oh, wow.
So we have dedicated quite a bit of money and resources, to include personnel, to increase that experience. And I just want to say that one of the fundamental tenets of what we're going to do is we're going to provide a better experience. So, you know, faster delivery of events, bring back the salad bar. We have all kinds of ideas to make it a better experience, but without raising any of the prices, okay? So again, because fundamentally what we want to do is make it a better value proposition and make it a better experience. So last week was our first, we installed our first upgrade, which was how we do the pizza and the grill, to speed up that process. And I think over the next couple of weeks, you'll see more and more development. So we're really excited about that, and I hope the community appreciates that and gets better value, because we've heard you and we understand. Mm-hmm. And then the second piece is I'll just highlight the library. We have a fantastic international library. The folks that work there do just such a wonderful job. And one of the things I just want to note is we hired an additional librarian, and this person's responsibility is really to curate and catalog the international collection in the coming months. So obviously we have tons of, you know, English or books in English, but what we should also have sections dedicated to the nations and their languages so that they can come and enjoy those books. And now that we have somebody hired to do that specifically, we're really happy to be able to open up the options to our community.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, we had the library in here actually yesterday talking about, you know, all the different things that they offer. If you have not been to the Shape International Library, I highly, highly, highly recommend that you go, because not only do they have amazing materials, but the librarians are also just so nice. Incredibly
they're
nice.
Incredible. Absolutely.
Oh yeah. They've helped me curate, you know, just a bunch of books to take home and bring to my kids. So they know us very well over at the library. We actually have a lot of questions coming in. And this first one, I was actually a little bit surprised by. I didn't realize that this was a thing, but why are there no playgrounds in each of the housing areas? And is this planned for the next phase? Because I know there's playgrounds on the ones outside of the base, but I didn't realize I mean, with the new construction.
Correct. So first, great question. And I'm glad to hear that we have questions from the community. Again, that's one of the reasons that I want to do this. So, you know, once a month, I'm on the air. If you have a question, submit it, and I'm happy to answer it. So, you know, we have a playground adjacent to the school, and that's really the only one that's on the base. So this is kind of a, I guess, a bad news, good news story, okay? Mm. So, you know, over a decade ago when Shape Village was envisaged, playground was not part of it, okay? So that is not part of the ultimate build. So when we have the final delivery sometime in late 2025, and we have 600 dwellings, there are no playgrounds associated with it, okay? The good news is I agree that we need playgrounds, okay? And so my team and I, we have done some exploratory analysis of how to do that and where they might be best placed. And so we will definitely begin that process here in the next, once the final Shape Village is delivered, we'll begin to begin the plan of implementing these playgrounds in throughout the campus. The number, location, we're still trying to work through that, but that is on our horizon. But on the near term, I also realized that something that's absent is picnic space. Ooh. We do not have sufficient picnic tables, areas where you can hang out, maybe, you know, enjoy your lunch in the outdoors. When those rare occasions that the weather cooperates. So in the near term, one of our projects will be to put forth install more picnic areas, especially around the sports pitches, because you're watching your children play, you're hanging out there. It'd be great to have seats dedicated. So those are the two things. The near term will be more picnic areas where we can gather. And then as far as the playgrounds, that will be kind of in the next probably 18 months plus once the Shape Village is delivered, and that will be something that Shape will provide.
Oh, that'll be really nice. And actually, we're kind of on the same topic as the next question. We got some recreation going on. And, you know, I see these cyclists out here all the time, even in the crazy weather. Like when I was struggling to drive during an absolute... Were you in that storm that was like a few weeks back?
Oh, yeah.
And it was just downpouring. There was a cyclist near me. So, you know, we definitely have some avid riders out here, and they're asking, could bike lanes be built on Shape?
Well, it doesn't have to be the enthusiast. I think we need to encourage more and more folks to use bikes, especially as we start beginning the really big construction activities going forward. We're going to lose a lot of parking spaces, and so we're going to encourage bicycle use as much as possible. And so for us to encourage that, we owe the community a better bicycle kind of transit solution. And so here's a couple things that we're doing. We recognize that there's a kind of a paucity of bicycle access lanes, or designated lanes, if you will. And so what we did in this past year is we contracted a company to do a full vehicle and bicycle traffic survey of the Shape campus to figure out how do we get better, where would lanes be best positioned, and then how can we kind of improve the overall traffic flow. And bicycle is fundamental to that entire process. So we will actually sit down and talk about it here in the fall, and then hopefully in the next 6 months you'll start seeing how we implement bicycle lanes, parking access, and those type of things. But we absolutely agree that we need to address, you know, and encourage more bicycle usage, and we are on top of that. And I'll tell you one more thing, and this is probably the first time anyone will hear it, but we're also going to build bicycle gates with 24/7 access at Ottawa and Luxembourg Gate. So if you want to bring your bicycle, instead of driving your car over the weekend, and of course those are closed on the weekend, you'll take your bike, come through the bicycle gate there onto campus, then hopefully use our bicycle lanes to get where you're going. So it is really a comprehensive approach on better incorporating bicycles onto campus, because I agree. Whether you're an enthusiast or just, it just makes sense. I think it's imperative that we address this.
Mm-hmm. So Colonel Croy, we are on our last question. Are you ready?
Bring it on.
Okay. So the last question we have is, why are there several days to wait for an appointment in order to get the Shape ID or to register my car?
That's a great question. First, I'd like to say, you know, the team down at FSIP has done a phenomenal job, and we have certainly gotten better than historically. But I also understand that our role is to ensure that you and your family are integrated into Shape as quickly as possible. Because I do these shows, you could probably pull up the archived radio show where I made a promise that, you know, for your AMIS card, within 48 hours, your car registration within 7 days, and your protocol ID within 10 days. Those have kind of, the AMIS card, I think we're still about 48 hours, but the registration and the protocol IDs have certainly been a little more protracted than we would want. And so, you know, we kind of apologize for the inconvenience. One of the things that, you know, we did all the math and we did the surge of the individuals down there. One of those things that I guess we didn't have an appreciation for, and I think we all could learn from here on Shape, is just how large Shape is becoming. And to give you kind of a reference point, between 2022 and 2024, we had 3,000 more appointments than we did in 2022. Mm-hmm. So even though we surge additional people, we'd almost need to build a larger building to accommodate that many people. And as we grow to NATO 2030, it'll probably get worse in the coming years. So that's on us. We need to figure out ways to be more efficient so that we can keep those times down. And I'll tell you, you know, one kind of near-term solution and a long-term solution that we're looking at. The near-term solution is, if you have an appointment and you're not going to use it, please cancel it. So what our team does every morning is they go through the queue for the day, and they clear out and make available any canceled appointment. So if you go on there and they say that you can't have your protocol ID appointment for, say, 2 weeks, I would encourage you to every morning just to look at that list, because a lot of folks, when they do that, they have a lot of success to find an appointment. And that's an appointment dedicated to you to take care of that issue. And so, again, just check it out in the mornings, and something should come up. And then for the longer term is, you know, we do way too much work analog. We have got to get to a point where we can digitalize the in-processing and minimize the number of folks who need to spend time down there, and then, you know, and getting stamps and those type of things. So our next initiative is to digitalize the in-processing so that we can get more people through in a quicker time.
Yeah, because I know that in-processing, it's quite the undertaking, I think, for folks coming into Shape. It's different. You know, we're all learning new things out here. And I mean, vehicle registration here is so different from anything that I ever
Absolutely.
Did overseas. So we have briefs, correct, to help with some newcomers?
Absolutely. So one of the things that we wanted to do was really just revitalize how we welcome newcomers. And so we have a series of newcomers briefs, and it's been fantastic. In fact, we've had about 200 people for the past couple iterations. And so please, the next one is tomorrow at 8:30 at the Shape Club. Come down there. I'll be there. We'll talk about all the benefits of living on Shape and all the best practices to set you up for success.